Our next guest, Stephen Brunt, is here after a week hiatus, who is, probably wearing hip waders and sunglasses. Do you have one of those sunglass tans? Do you have one of those, the raccoon going today?
Yes, I do. To be honest, I do. But I've got. But before we go down that road, I turned on my magical little radio box here to do the show, mm-hmm. and hearing that familiar voice, the familiar sonorous tones of
Will Nault,
Rhett Warner, was
that? Oh, Rhett,
what a happy surprise! They all come back though. You know, the bright lights and glamour of morning radio. It is. They always come back.
It's hard to leave. It is.
Yeah.
Welcome back, pal.
Thanks, buddy. Fishing. Whereabouts?
Yes, sir. The Gaspé in Quebec.
Nice.
Fishing in Quebec.
Cool. Yes, it's it was a little burst of semi-normalcy, so that's a good thing right now.
I guess. So what's that, again, just I guessing in COVID-wise, do you go with a group? What's that like? Because we're not going to big cabins and staying together and going out six guys to a boat right now.
No, they've got all kinds of protocols. Like they, it's like everything, right? We had to stop somewhere. It's a long drive from here, so I was in a hotel for a night in Quebec City, which is interesting, in itself. But yeah, at the lodge, they one guide per angler, so not two per guide, which would be the normal. Masks in the truck when you're driving out to the river. And at the lodge, where there would normally be one big communal table, there are individual little tables where you sit facing an empty space in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
You know, you can see each other, but you're at a distance. So it's as normal as it's going to get right now, and it's awesome. But they're being careful, obviously. That's a part of that is a part of the country where they have been almost entirely spared this thing. So they would like to keep it that way.
Boy, you
it
think
looks gorgeous.
Yeah. You know, Rhett and I have gone, we've done the salmon fishing thing a couple of times, and you feel for those guides because they don't make a ton of money. They only make money in the summer months when there's fishing, and then this hits, like so many. I mean, people have been hit hard right across the board, but certainly for those guys, there's not much there to begin with, and with that gone, I feel for those guys.
It's tough, and as you say, it's not gonna single them out as the one group that's living through economic hardship
now,
because there's a lot of people. But you think of who their clientele is, right? It's a lot of people who are traveling, a lot of Americans. I know a lot of lodges just didn't bother to open this summer, mm-hmm. because they couldn't make the numbers work. And where we were, normally there would have been 12 people fishing, there were two. So that's kind of what they're dealing with. Some mass cancellations and, rolling everybody's dates over to 2021 and hoping it's better next year. So it's just one of those, it's a tiny little sector, but, you hope that people can find a way to keep, their staff employed and keep the salaries going through the summer just so that they can get through the winter. Where we were, they're doing that, and that's a great thing. But, yeah, very, very, very odd for those guys, and just as a kind of a microcosm of what's going mm-hmm. on in so many other parts of the economy right now.
We'll move on, but before I do, you don't know this, and actually Rhett doesn't know this, but now with 2020 being what it is, and if we get back to some sort of semblance, you think about things that you've always wanted to do that maybe now you better. We're going fishing sometime. You don't know this yet. I've just informed you, but whether you are coming out here or maybe Rhett and I are going out there, we need to spend a few days and hang out on the water.
That'd be good. Can you throw a fly? This would be a good time to learn how to fly.
Oh, I got some work to do.
That's
then.
A solitary activity, right? You can, a little lesson from a distance, but yeah, get your
Warner. Can you fly? Can you do it?
I can do it. I'm not. Yeah. I would not say I'm adept at it, but I can handle it.
Yes.
And my vote, Boomer, would be to tag along with Steve because he gets to better places.
He does. Yeah. Northern Sask or Fiji. I don't know which you pick. Tough call. Yeah,
pike on a fly is pretty fun. Yeah. I can do that.
I'm curious what you're seeing now. I know you probably won't be watching. It's not going to be a huge focus for you, but 24 teams into the playoffs, some in a round robin, the rest on these on the qualifiers. There is a lot of excitement around it. I don't know what the viewership is. I know the ratings came out. I don't know if it's a success or not for Rogers, but it sure feels like, with so many things, it's going to be hard to go back to the regular 16 teams after this, isn't it?
Yeah, this is so strange and different. But I guess what I would say, you know, the interesting thing to me on the hockey thing so far, and I've seen those numbers too. I think the numbers are pretty good from what I can tell, but I have no idea what the economics of that are. But I know more people are watching hockey than are watching anything else in Canada right now, by some multiple. So that tells you that there's pent up demand. But look, you know, again, I started out watching. You know, what was the first sport? Taiwanese baseball, I think, was the first sport to come back. So, you know, I have dipped into just about everything that has returned. Bull riding, you know, the whole smorgasbord. This playoff hockey feels more normal and more engaging than anything I've watched so far. I'm not sure why that is. You know, obviously, I think they've done a really nice job with the television production to kind of give it, you know, kind of take away from the abnormal part and make it feel more kind of focused on the ice. You don't think about the empty arena very often, almost never. And I think when guys started dropping the gloves early on in the playoffs, you realize that, you know, they don't just do that as a show for the people in the stands, if you ever thought that. So, you know, it's been intense and it's been nasty, and the hockey's been, I think, really good. And I think there's a, you know, the discussion around, like, you know, like, look, you watch baseball right now, what, it's still baseball, but everybody's still talking about whether they're going to get through the season. You know, like, who, you know, how, when the, you know, the Jays just played after, what, 7 days off because of COVID stuff. It doesn't feel like a baseball season, and it's not, I don't think it's going to. You know, there's just too many stumbling blocks there. But, and I, you know, the hockey playoffs feel like the hockey playoffs, and there's a real buzzy kind of hockey conversation. Obviously, in your town, there is right now, guaranteed. There is here. You know, when I was down east, you know, a lot of the focus on the Habs is pretty intense, and that series is really interesting, too. You know, it's kind of, I think it's really started with a bang, and, you know, almost to the point where people can lose themselves in it, which is, you know, kind of what, it's August, but it's not hockey season. But if you can just kind of disappear into hockey and who's going to win and who's going to survive these series and, you know, what about the guy who got hurt last night? That is something we have not had since March. And this is the first time it's felt like that to me. I don't know about you guys.
And I agree with all of that. And I guess in terms of expanding the playoffs, it will be well and good until a team advances that maybe shouldn't have. You lose a top seed. Like, because right now the Rangers, they didn't look very good. They are gone. I think that the Habs are going to have a similar fate here very quickly. I think they got their one game and that's it. So to some extent, I wonder if it will really be worth it. Will any of these bottom feeders be able to do anything once they get there? And God forbid if they do and knock out a 5 seed in a conference, will the blowback be so severe that there'll be they'll drag their feet to change it?
You know, I think it was, you know, like best of 5 is way more of a crapshoot, obviously. So, you know, maybe, you know, but if it's a best of 7, you know, if that's the future format, and, you know, who knows? Like, look, playoff inventory content is more valuable than regular season, right? That's the reason leagues do it and want to do it, is because they want to sell it. So the temptation is always there to expand the playoffs. You know, forget about whatever the legitimacy of getting in. This is about creating, you know, stuff that people want to watch and that advertisers want to pay for. But I'll tell you something. If you win a best of 7 series, I don't care what seed you are, you earn it. This isn't the NCAA where, you know, back when they had that, you know, 2 years ago or a year ago, you know, you can have one great night and knock off a 2 seed or something, and you know, and then whatever happens after that. But you earn best of 7s, especially in hockey. So, I look, if a team somehow got through 4 rounds, you know, or 3 rounds from a low seed, my God, like you just tip your cap to them, wouldn't you? Like, so I'm not sure I remember the days, you know, when the league was smaller and a higher percentage of teams made the playoffs. And I know there was a lot of moaning about it then, but I don't remember any, you know, do you remember, has there been such a thing as an undeserving Stanley Cup winner? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. The other part is we love upsets.
Dallas.
You know, 99, yeah, that was 04, a rough one for sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, there, yeah.
But
well,
I was going to say, we love upsets until you get to the next round, and that team that probably shouldn't be there doesn't show up and maybe gets swept in a round two or a round three, do you know what I mean? And then you lament, boy, it'd be nice to have that really good Lightning team or that really strong Penguin team kicking around right now.
Yeah, well, you're right. That's it is sort of like there's the example, right? Not that Columbus, like, still the same format, but Columbus knocking off Tampa last year and then Columbus disappearing, right? They had their great shining moment, but boy, like those four games they played against Tampa where they were really good.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of loath to put an asterisk beside them. Like, I still think you got to earn it. So we'll see. I don't think anybody's looking too far ahead right now.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. Like, I think the baseball expanded playoff, that's never going away. I can guarantee you that because, you know, their regular season is so long and, you know, it's kind of been devalued anyway. It's more of a regional, local thing. There's no real national audience. They want to create more national buzz. So the baseball playoffs we're going to see this year, if they get that far, big if right now, I don't think that's ever going away, but I think I'm less certain that the NHL would do it.
Stephen Brutt is our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. Not a masterclass in negotiation with the Canadian Football League, not only with its own members, but with the Canadian government or sponsors. We want $140-150 million bailout, and they say no. Well, how about 42.5? Well, how'd you get to that number? Don't worry about it. Just how about 42.5? And they say no. Well, how about a loan? Ooh, like a payback? We're going to have to pay it back with interest? So that doesn't sound good. It's just been, how are we here on whatever the date is? We're into August, and it's still just a cluster for the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, according to my pal Dan Ralph at Canadian Press, who's been leading on this story, there is a Board of Governors meeting on Thursday, so tomorrow. I would think we have finally, you know, we perhaps have hit the kind of the deadline moment here. Now, of course, they still don't have a deal with the players, so it's, you know, small little obstacle here. But you're right. This has been a car wreck. Now, unprecedented circumstances, desperate times, a league where, you know, you got, you know, nine teams all pulling in nine different directions, different ownership, different situations, different motivation whether to play or not. Plus, you know, you've got a bad relationship with your players that predates COVID. So, look, there's a lot of, like, Randy Ambrosio had a lot to work on here. He had a lot to work against. So I'm not going to put all the blame on him, but it just doesn't feel like that. I can't see how this is going to work, how they're going to, you know, among other things, you know, they have acknowledged that the league in total, you know, lost $20 million last year. It was a good year, you know, but they lost $20 million bucks. Now, you know, that doesn't mean Saskatchewan lost money, but somebody lost a lot of money. And, you know, if you're going to go in as a business, you know, which is what they're trying to do now, they're not going in as a cultural institution looking for, you know, a bailout to get them through a year, not-for-profit, although they don't make a profit, but they're going in as a business and saying, you know, we want to borrow money as a business. And, you know, started dealing with various arms of the federal government to give out loans to businesses and startups or to help them expand. But yeah, you know, it's they want a loan agreement. They want you to pay interest on the money. They have a hard time making a business case right now, and the cultural case seems to fall on deaf ears. No one's going to just throw them a big grant at them. So I don't know what's left. You know, they're down to $30 million, I guess, is the ask now. And at $30 million, they would still lose a bundle of money this year. And you kind of wonder, you know, plus it's still going to be, even if they get the dough to pull off what they're trying to do. I know the other bubbles look like the NBA bubble and the MLS bubble and the NHL bubble look really good right now. But there's a lot of moving pieces here. There's a lot of players. A lot of players got to come over the border. They don't have the resources to do the kind of testing that you'd have to do, I don't think. We're now, you know, 2 weeks later than they probably should have been getting this thing started. So you tell me, man. I it would be great if they could pull it off. I think it's way more likely that by the end of the week we're going to hear that they cancel the season.
And it is unfortunate because it feels like in some way people are rooting for it. It's not good. It's not that. And it does them no good in June or May to cancel the football season. You didn't know what COVID was doing. You had no idea what the future was going to hold, and we still don't. But I think we know enough by now that a hub of Winnipeg with all the teams and, like you say, all the players, and it's still out there. There is no vaccine. It is still being spread far and wide, and most of these players have to come in from points abroad. There's just so many things. I don't know. There's the con list. I don't know what's on the pro list to doing this season.
I guess just staying on the map. You know, I think it's simple as that, because I don't know that there's a great, you know, that look, it's a, it, from a business point of view, it's going to be a disaster no matter what you do. It's a disaster if you play, and it's a disaster if you don't play. You know, if you play and you end up owing, you know, having to cover whatever losses you're going to incur, plus owing the government $30 million that you actually have to repay. I guess you could pray that down the road they might forgive that, but don't count on it, man. There's a lot of people with their hands out right now for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think the only argument you make for playing is that, you know, you stay out of sight, out of mind. You know, it's as simple as that. And you know what's the plan to restart in 2021 if you don't play in 2020? How do you do that? What's the appetite going to be from some of your private owners? And are you going to lose owners? Are you going to lose? You're going to lose momentum for sure. You've already lost that. But I don't know. I do not think there's a good outcome here, and I think that's been clear for some time. For the NHL, for the NBA. You know, even for MLS, you know, these are not great situations, but they're reasonable outcomes. You know, you're having a playoff tournament essentially. You know, or in the MLS's case, is a standalone tournament. And they just have more resources, and they have more TV money coming in. So, you know, it's the economic decision is a lot more clear cut for them, sort of like it was for the European soccer leagues. Like, you know, just there's too much money on the table not to play.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true for the CFL, but do I think going dark for a year is going to help their cause? No, but I do not see a good alternative here.
Well, we're at the point where the fans are hoping The Rock comes in and buys the league, so that's where we're at, right?
Yeah, that's
we need Dwayne Johnson to come in with a life preserver and save the league.
I think they'd take his call.
Yeah, I bet they would. What would that cost you if it's 50, what was it, $15 million for the XFL? What's the going rate Canadian for a Canadian football league?
Well, it's a really good question, because you know I believe the guys who bought the Montreal Alouettes paid nothing.
That's right. Yeah, just take the keys.
Like, some teams are worth more than others, you know. Look, if you ran the league as a single entity, as a single business entity, you could make it work. It's actually the best business model for the CFL. One owner, 9 teams, run them like franchises, like Tim Hortons. And you could make this thing work. It would be way easier than the current, stable as a business than the current arrangement.
Well, I'll call Dwayne. I'll let him know you're on board.
He's a Calgary guy, right? He's been to Calgary.
Oh, yeah, he hangs out here all the time. Yeah, he's a good guy. Heck of a good guy. Bigger than you might think. I mean, he looks big, but, man, you get beside him. You see him beside P.K. Subban there in that video, and just a huge human. He's unbelievably big.
He's not like one of those little wrestlers like Macho Man, right?
No, he's the real deal. Real deal, Stephen, okay. For sure.
Good to know. Good to know.
Good to have you back. We're going to call you again on Friday. Just a heads up.
I'll be here. I'm here for the foreseeable future.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Take care, pal.
See you guys.
Stephen Brunt.